Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The anti-communist Red Scare swept across the United States in the late 1940s and 50s. Its culmination and downfall of its most public face, Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy, took place on June 9th, 1954, during a televised hearing. It was a testy exchange between McCarthy and a Boston attorney, Joseph Welch.
Let us not assassinate this lad further, Senator. You've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir, at long last? Have you left no sense of decency?
So that was a very important national moment. But the truth is that another hearing took place at virtually the same time, far away from the television cameras, with a very similar feel, and it happened in Wayland. Alex Kingsbury uncovered the story through a public records request, and he wrote about it in a recent piece for the Boston Globe. Alex is deputy editor of the Globe's ideas section, and it's good to see you, Alex. Welcome back.
Oh, happy to be here.
I mean, I say welcome back because he used to be at Radio Boston, full disclosure. Okay, so draw the line for us between, you know, the apex of McCarthy's moment and this case that you uncovered in Wayland.
Well, it's difficult to overstate this McCarthy hearing. About 70 million people turned in to watch it on television. And that broke all the records. I mean, imagine a Super Bowl sort of times three at an era when television was really new. So the country was fixated on this spectacle that was going on. Here's the junior senator from Wisconsin who is taking the army and accusing them of subversion, of treason. It was an extraordinary event. And you had this very reserved lawyer from Boston, Joseph Welch, who goes down there. And McCarthy, by way of discrediting Welch, accuses one of his subordinates of being a communist, to which Welch has this very stiletto-ish sort of reply to McCarthy, "Have you no decency at long last?" And the idea behind this story and what happened with Ann Hale is that what happened with Joseph McCarthy and Fred Fisher and all these people, it wasn't particularly indecent. In fact, it was routine. The Red Scare was a whole lot more than what was going on when you see Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart and Walt Disney and all these people, you know, called before the HUAC hearings for communist allegiance and so forth and so on. This was something that happened in union halls and in schools and in prisons, in workplaces, all across the country, for the state, the federal, the local level, and in very small towns like in Wayland.
And it destroyed thousands of people's lives. So let's learn a little bit more about Ann Hale, who you just mentioned, this Wayland teacher who basically faced a kind of hearing in Wayland. Tell us a little bit about her.
So Ann Hale went to Radcliffe during the 20s. And she grew up in a very liberal family. Her father had worked for Teddy Roosevelt, even tutored his kids in the White House. This was a very politically active family. The name Hale obviously is very old New England. She was related to a Revolutionary War soldier, if you go back and do the genealogy, and always committed to progressive causes. After she graduated high school, or after she graduated college, she went to New York and became a teacher because she felt that this was a way for her social progressivism to be sort of expressed in her career. And joined the Communist Party, as many teachers did.
The American Communist Party.
The American Communist Party. And it was a time when there were a lot of social currents that were flowing around in American life. It was, you know, after the Great Depression, you had fascism, you had communism, socialism, anarchism, all these sort of political currents were swirling. She became a communist.
But as you're right, though, I mean, when she finally moves to Wayland to teach, she hadn't been very active in the American Communist
Party. Exactly. After the Second World War, she moves back to Wayland and falls out with the Communist Party. She joins more mainstream, the League of Women Voters, for instance, to sort of be the outlet for her social activism.
So how is it? Rights, so how is it then, Alex, that she ends up having this public hearing about, you know, whether or not she's a danger to the young children of Wayland?
Sure, because they find out about her past when McCarthy starts this purge of all sort of political ideas that might be dangerous. All the states start looking at it too, and Massachusetts was not alone. They formed their own state commission to investigate potential subversives, and Ann Hale's name came up. When the FBI had been trailing Ann Hale for years because she'd attended communist meetings and so forth and so on. So they kept this extensive file on all of her activities. They talked to her neighbors, and a lot of this has been sort of now declassified. So the FBI actually informed the Wayland School Board that they had a potential subversive in the second grade. The school board calls Ann Hale before them and says, "Are you a communist?" And she says, "Well, I was at one time." And they said, "Well, you know, I think you should probably stop teaching." And she said, "No, I'd like to have a public hearing to air this issue out."
And what, hundreds or thousands of people came to watch
it was
the hearing?
It was an extraordinary proceeding that happened right in the auditorium at the Wayland High School. 8 hearings over 3 weeks, and the first night, 700 people turned up. This was a town that had been stewing in McCarthy on TV during the day, and then at night goes to watch this public hearing of the subversive they caught next door. It's extraordinary.
You know, you actually have a really fascinating quotation amongst many in the article from John F. Kennedy, nonetheless, because it's easy now to look back and think, you know, how could this have happened? How could people have been informing on each other whether or not the information was accurate? And you remind us that Kennedy himself said he was senator at the time, half of his constituents back in Massachusetts, you know, thought McCarthy was a hero.
Sure, Massachusetts, home of the John Birch Society. I mean, you know, Massachusetts was very divided between, you know, left and right in a way that we have sort of trouble understanding today. McCarthy was a regular at the Kennedy compound. He was a family friend. I mean, there was close sort of ties between the two of them. This was not a partisan issue. This was the result of a society that really marinated in fear of communism for a long time.
Now, Anne Hale, I mean, her life was destroyed by this. She was fired from her teaching job and never really fully was able to get back on her feet, right?
Never. And what's extraordinary is a lot of people think about the Red Scare as a very brief thing that happened in the 50s. It was all McCarthy's fault, and when it was over, it was over. It's not true. What this story shows is that the FBI trailed this woman long before and long after she was removed from her post in the second grade. And they followed her essentially right up until her death. She died very young, as many people subjected to these loyalty inquiries did.
Mm. Well, Alex Kingsbury is he's the deputy editor of the Boston Globe's Ideas section, telling us the story of Anne Hale, a Wayland teacher who in the 1950s lost her job in the midst of the Red Scare. It's a fascinating article that he's written for the Boston Globe magazine, and we have a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Alex, thanks so much, and it's great to see you again.
Sure, happy to be here.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston.